Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And it is the holiday season.
Yes, it is.
It is. That is a statement of fact. And it's a statement of fiction. What's your take on Santa? Does Santa come to your house? Did Santa come to your house as a child?
Santa and the idea of Santa was dashed by my brother when I was but a tender six-year-old. So my feelings on Santa are, pretty whatever.
Yeah.
He's a jolly old guy. And I do find as an adult, though, that his presence is a bit creepy.
Well, I feel like to a certain extent, he should be a little creepy because, I mean, there are, not to spend much time on it, but there are a lot of different versions of Santa. You have the sort of westernized American Santa who is just kind of an overly positive, jolly, fat man who brings you gifts and it's just all good.
And you sit on his lap.
You sit on his lap, and it's so positive that like a certain amount of darkness creeps into it. But then there are the older models, sort of a gaunt, Saint Nicholas, et cetera. These type of characters I feel like have more of an inherent darkness to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they tend not to be as creepy because they're already, the creepiness doesn't grow on it like mold over time. It's already part of the design.
So you're talking about more of the European representation of Santa Claus or Sinterklaas, the Dutch
yes.
Santa.
Yeah, the Dutch Santa in particular. Because not only is he a bit dark and a little more, he's still bringing you gifts. He's still the good cop, but
mm-hmm.
there's also a bad cop to this scenario. And in this, I'm of course talking about Krampus. Krampus, the holiday demon, or one of many types of Krampuses, the horned beasts that come down from the hills in the period before the Feast of St. Nicholas and terrorize naughty children, and in some cases beat them with sticks or haul them off altogether, perhaps to hell. So they come in advance, and there are other characters like this, like Belznickel, that come and sort of terrorize the children and are using the stick as opposed to the carrot to try and get good behavior out of them. Whereas the good cop, Santa Claus, St. Nicholas, whoever, or the baby Jesus on a golden string, if you're Czech, they are the good cop, and they are trying to dangle the carrot in front of you to get positive behavior.
Okay, so we're talking about carrot and stick today.
Yes.
What we respond to. And I just want to read a little excerpt from Santa. I don't know if you've heard this before.
A quote from Santa?
Well, actually, it's...
Did you reach out to him for this episode?
It's one of Santa's elves. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been good or bad. So be good, for goodness sake. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. Those are the famous words.
Well, I just can't help but think back to the Panopticon.
Yeah.
Because we talked about this. We talked about the seeing eye of God. And the Panopticon, of course, is the actual structure that was meant as this concentric prison system with this watchtower in the middle that was watching all of the prisoners all the time. But doesn't this sound a bit like Santa Claus, whether or not it's Santa or Krampus, really?
Yeah, the Santa or Krampus, they become this panoptic figure at the center of everything. They're all knowing. They're all judging. And it's right to be afraid of them, right? We talked in the Panopticon episode about how it's also the seat of God in a belief system. Mm-hmm. The idea that there's this divine figure that's looking down on you and knows everything you've done and knows what you're doing. And so that's one of the interesting things about this whole Christmas scenario for children with the good cops and the bad cops, with the carrot and the stick, because it's basically a mini day of doom. I've heard it referred to. It's like a model of the more elaborate system that the adults would have had, in which, you know, it's a situation of heaven and hell, of fire and brimstone or eternal salvation. And then for the children, it's kind of reduced to a more simpler, model.
Well, yeah, it's an initiation into the Panopticon system,
or
basically this idea of heaven and hell. Yes.
Yeah. On a simple level, like people who believe in a divine being and gods or goddesses, like, is any given particular god, is it going to be a benign God that rewards you for good behavior, or is it a judgmental, harsh, angry God that is all about punishing you for sin? And then to what degree do you end up using both?
And what sort of personality are you, right? I mean, that's kind of what I probably would have thought about it before. Are you a personality that responds more to rewards or to the possibility of punishment? But it turns out to be a bit deeper than that. And, of course, it always does, right?
Yeah, I mean, with humans, of course, there's so many layers of cognition that end up being involved, and especially in something like religion. But even in folk tales for children, it just gets complicated really fast.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're going to talk about here in the rest of this episode is that there does appear to be certain genetic factors at work here, too. We can actually look at individual genes that are involved in how we deal with positive reinforcement or negative reinforcement, with the carrot or the stick, the good cop or the bad cop, the Santa Claus or the Krampus.
Because, of course, it always boils down to that brain.
Yes.
And what's going on and how we are genetically predisposed. Of course, genetics isn't everything, but it's very interesting when it comes to something like this.
So, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the genetics of reward and punishment. Yes, the holidays are here, and perhaps you want a little holiday viewing. Well, head on over to Netflix.com where you can find various videos, TV shows, movies, feature films, classics, bad movies as well, horror movies, all with a holiday theme to them that you can plug into your brain. And as a new member and a Stuff to Blow Your Mind listener, you can get a free 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to Netflix.com/blowthemind and sign up. Be sure to use that URL, Netflix.com/blowthemind. That way they'll know that we sent you. You're supporting this podcast while also benefiting your eyeballs. You can play all this stuff on your Xbox, your PlayStation, your mobile device. Selection subject to change, but it's always a great deal. So go to Netflix.com/blowthemind, sign up today.
All right, we're back. Now let's travel on over to the Netherlands, not to sit on the lap of Sinterklaas, but to visit with Hanneke den Oren in Raschenkoels and their colleagues from the Donders Instituut in Nijmegen in the Netherlands, because they have published some very interesting research in the journal Neuron.
Yeah, and by the way, Nijmegen is in the east of the Netherlands near the German border, so that's definitely St. Nicholas territory, and I believe that's Krampus territory as well. People may have to correct us on that, but I think he's around there. So, what was old Hanneke interested in? Well, in this study that they conducted, they demonstrated that serotonin and dopamine related genes influence how we base our choices on past punishments and rewards. Now, We believe for a while that brain chemicals, dopamine and serotonin, partially determine our sensitivity to reward and punishment, right? I mean, after all, dopamine is a neurotransmitter that helps to control the brain's reward and pleasure centers, and serotonin is keyed into emotion, mood, control, digestion, etc. I mean, we've talked about serotonin and dopamine countless times and how they end up dictating who we are and how we behave.
But you have gene variants for these, right?
Yes.
And that would influence your behavior when it came to punishment and reward. And to test this, the researchers used a simple computer game to test the genetic influence of the genes DAT1, that's the dopamine-related gene, and SERT, S-E-R-T, that's the serotonin-related gene, as these genes influence dopamine and serotonin.
Yeah, the variants of note here for SERT is 5-HTTLPR plus RS255. And then for DAT1 or DAT1, which seems to me DAT1 would lead to all sorts of hilarity in the research room, but I could be wrong. But anyway, the variant with DAT1 is 30UTRVNTR31.
Very nice, very nice. During the study, they had 700 participants who would repeatedly choose one of two symbols, symbol A, which usually resulted in a reward, or symbol B, which usually resulted in punishment. And halfway through the game, however, there was a twist. The rules were reversed, and this allowed researchers to measure how flexible people were in adjusting to their choices. And it also revealed whether they impulsively changed their choice when the computer gave them misleading feedback. So in other words, they had to sort of readjust and figure out whether or not it's going to be a reward or a punishment.
And it's interesting, because growing up, is kind of a situation of finding the rules changing on you all the time. Like, what's this? I can't poop in my pants anymore. I no longer have that option. That's a game changer. And how am I going to roll with that? What's this? I can't just, run around the house half naked. Oh, I have to change. We're always dealing with changes, or our changes in our diet as we get older,
Or Santa Claus, not real. Are you kidding? Nobody's watching me. Now I get to assess punishment and reward in a different way.
Exactly. Yeah. And then how do you end up rolling with that? Yeah. Life is full of revelations and new rules, and our ability to roll with those rules or not roll them kind of ends up where we land in the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. Now, the big result here is that they discover that the dopamine gene affects how we learn from the long-term consequences of our choices, while the serotonin gene affects our choices in the short term. So it would follow that some people would be a little bit more hardwired to err on the side, say, of being able to learn well from long-term consequences, or they might be more motivated by choices in the short term.
Yeah, people's tendency to change their choices immediately after receiving punishment depends on which serotonin gene variant they inherited from their parents. So in other words, SERT is involved in behavioral adaptation following losses.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the stick. Whereas the dopamine gene variant, on the other hand, exerts influence on whether people can stop themselves making the incorrect choice that was previously rewarded. In other words, DAT1, DAT1, plays a role
that
in DAT1 plays a role in experience-based preservation, or the carrot.
Okay. So this is important because a lot of neuropsychiatric disorders caused by abnormal dopamine and or serotonin levels are associated with forms of inflexibility like addiction, anxiety, or Parkinson's disease. So you see this being played out in various chemicals in the brain in the extreme.
Yeah, yeah. So in this, it goes the ramifications of a study like this are far more than just, oh, we know a little bit about how we behave and how we inherit aspects of who we are. But yeah, this is actually stuff that we'll be able to use in the future to deal with some of these crippling disorders.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product, and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, so there's an interesting blog called Neuroscience in the Law, and it's edited by Alex Verbeck, who says, a quote, a minority of Parkinson's patients who undergo dopamine-based therapies will develop persistent and potentially ruinous impulsive behavior disorders, for example, chronic gambling. Mm. And this is in patients with no prior history of problem gambling, but once they start to get some of the dopamine-based therapies, their behavior changes. Now, Verbeck goes on to say that that you can look at, say, chronic methamphetamine use, right, meth, and you can see that it mimics or reproduces the effects of genetic mutations that would predispose someone to impulsive or injurious choices. And what Verbeck goes on to say is that the majority of programs have a long-term thinking and planning, these rehabilitation programs for meth addicts. And what happens is that they suffer from a high washout rate or a high recidivism rate because of this, because it's not really appealing to more of what we would say is the carrot here. And that this is something that when you're talking about neuroscience and law and you're talking about addicts, that you really need to think about in terms of rehabilitation, that inherently the system isn't set up for success if it's not appealing to the correct ways in which the person perceives the reward or the punishment.
Yeah, they have more carrot wiring in them at this point. And
yeah.
Therefore, it would make sense that you would, that any kind of rehabilitation program would need to be more carrot-centric.
Yeah. I mean, and this is true of kids, too, even in terms of lying. We've discussed kids and how much they lie. Something like a six-year-old drops a Whopper every, like, 90 minutes.
Uh-huh.
By Whopper, I mean lie. We were talking cat earlier, so just to be clear. But it turns out that, again, the reward and not the punishment is really key into curbing lying in kids, because when they see that they haven't been punished for lying, they actually will stop the lying, whereas if they get punished, they continue to do it over and over again. And there's some really interesting studies in this book called Nurture Shock by Poe Bronson and Ashley Merrimack, and they go over this territory. But the point that seems to be arising, at least from a good amount of scenarios, is that the stick isn't always that helpful. And yet, it's one of the, I would say, pillars of society, at least Western society.
Yeah, I mean, you look, I mean, that's always been a big issue, of course, in crime and punishment.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent does prison just become a punishment? To what extent do we as a culture become just completely wrapped up in the idea of punishing the guilty rather than trying to rehabilitate people and turn them around and give them some sort of carrot at the end of the hallway?
You know what's weird?
What's weird?
I came across this study that said that if you want to be able to control your impulse, right? And let's say that you're in this situation and there's a buffet in front of you. You are actually going to be able to control those impulses, not by the reward or the punishment of the situation, but by your bladder, whether or not it's full. And I'm not talking about bursting full, because, you know, then no cognition occurs other than, hey, I have to go to the bathroom right now. But according to Dr. Meerschaum Took, who led a study on this, the brain's control signals are not task specific, but they actually result in an unintentional increase in control over other tasks when your bladder is full and it's saying, hey, I'm full, and you're trying to control that response to pee all over the place.
Huh.
Isn't that fascinating? Like,
that
you're trying to control that, so then you have a plate full of food in front of you at the same time, and you make the decision to control your impulse on that as well.
Huh. Well, you know, I've often heard that if you're trying to control your appetite, a lot of times when we're hungry, we're actually thirsty and therefore drink more water.
Right.
So it seems like it would pay then to keep your bladder at kind of a full level, you know, not to where you're just, you know, you're risking like complete urinary implosion, but just enough to keep you on edge. Like, I feel it's like sometimes I'm like that in the when we come in to record a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
My bladder will be just full enough that I'm just a little on edge the whole time, without actually peeing myself. And I haven't really broken it down as to why it works, but and certainly haven't thought about it much in terms of impulse control, but I don't know. I feel like I do better. I perform better if I have a slightly full bladder.
You know what? I do the same thing with podcasts sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I gotta admit. And now I'm curious about you guys out there, if there are certain tasks that you consciously do with a semi or full bladder.
Yeah.
And do you know you're doing that on purpose? Let us know.
Yes, let us know. And hey, let us know what you think about the carrot and the stick in pretty much any context you can imagine, be it rearing a child, being a child, celebrating Christmas, to partaking of your culture, dealing with crime and punishment on a national or international level. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You know, and I also would love to hear about your own particular take on holiday traditions, to what extent they fall on the scale between, you know, outright, stick, thrashing, negativity and darkness, and on the other end of the scale, you know, candy and puppy dog tails and bright jolly old elves and carrots. You know, since we have a few spare moments here, let's call over the mailbot and see what we have to read. All right, this one comes to us from Sam. Sam writes in and says, hi, Robert and Julie. My name is Sam from Aberdeen, Scotland. I've been listening to your podcast for a long time, and they help me get through my workday, and I love them, but this is my first message to yourselves. I was just listening to your podcast on Autotommy, and it made me think of the lizard from The Amazing Spider-Man number 6, created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko in November 1963. The villain is in the newest Spider-Man movie. Dr. Kirk Connors tries to regrow his arm using lizard DNA. It works, but ends up changing him into a giant crazy lizard. Compared to the research that's going on today with the regeneration, they were thinking far ahead of their time and the dangers that may come with it, obviously in a worst case scenario. So it always amazes me that comic books and sci-fi from about 40 years ago are filled with science ideas that, that they are researching in the modern age. Keep up the fantastic work. Thanks, Sam. And indeed, that's one of the great things, as we've talked before, about science fiction, is that science fiction is always a reflection of a particular time period and their own dreams, aspirations, and fears about where science is going to take us. And more often than not, you'll find some interesting interpretations of where we're going to go in the future. And some of those hold out to be really true.
They do. We also got a comment by Paula, and she is responding to a video on stufftoblowyourmind.com, a video on smiling, and we also have a podcast episode about this, too. She says, now, I am a longtime smiler, admittedly tipping over into belly laughter pretty often, so definitely above that 20-smile average a day for adults. So then she goes on to say that she put a pencil in her mouth to try to mimic that pencil and smiling study. She said she didn't watch a funny visual, but she thought about a scene in The Big Bang television show, and a scene that had her falling off the couch laughing when she first saw it. And she said, the smile then pushed in from the muscles further out from the edge of my mouth. When I felt that part of my cheek move, it pressed against the pencil. I felt a chortle moving from my chest to my face. I wonder if you are a habitual smile laugh person, if you routinely move more muscles in your face, that you have more neuron connections, making it harder to squelch with the pencil in the mouth? She says, you guys have given me so much to think about, but you almost always manage to get in something that also gives me a big grin, a total brain delight. Thanks, Paula. I think that's a really good question. If you smile more often, do you have more neuronal connections? Is it harder to not smile, essentially?
That is an interesting question. And it also makes me think about scuba divers. What if underwater is actually really hilarious, but scuba divers always have the apparatus in their mouth, so they can't laugh as much. It could just be absolutely hilarious down there if you're there in person, but they never get to laugh unless you're in some sort of specialized submarine, which is a little more rare.
I don't know. That's another test that could be completed.
Yeah, I was thinking about the pencil thing, and I was like, my first thoughts were smokers. Would it affect smokers? But of course, smokers, you don't have it in your mouth the whole time, the cigarette, and they're moving it to the corner of their lips, right?
However, they are using those muscles that are drawing their lips downward and the corners of them downward. And we did see in one of those 500 pencil smile frown tests that if you had the pencil vertical in sort of like a cigarette position, that people did not get the sort of emotional jolt from others when they were looking at photos of happy people and smiling people.
Well, there's an area of exploration for the future.
Indeed.
Yes. All right, so there you have it. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us in all the normal places. Of course, stufftoblowyourmind.com is our main homepage, our mothership, and that's where you will find all of our blog posts, all of our podcast episodes dating back to the very beginning, as well as our weekly video series. We've been out three a week these days, and they're always worth checking out. You can also find us on social media. We're on Tumblr, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, on YouTube. We are Mind Stuff Show. And then there's, of course, another way they might send a letter to us.
That's right. You can send a letter to us, particularly if you would like to discuss if the Elf on a Shelf is just a stand-in for the Panopticon Watch Tower Guard. You can let us know at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.